Every time the Blackhawks win this season, you could win big with Circa Sports Illinois. One fan scores a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino, and 100 more win a $100 Circa app credit. Don't miss your shot. See the Blackhawks contest page.
Welcome into Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown studios of WGN Radio. And as always, riding shotgun with me, Jack Heinrich. Jack, what's going on tonight, man?
Ready to talk hockey after I talked Bears all day.
Well, first off, I feel like we owe our listeners an apology, because the last time we did a Blackhawks live show, actually, let me rewind. So last week, before the Blackhawks live show, I went on with John Hansen. We did a crosstalk, and we were talking about the Blackhawks, and the playoff odds were like 46% at the time, whatever it was.
40.
No, I think it was higher.
Well, I looked it up, so it's my fault. And then I told you.
Well, we essentially like ditched our script last week, like minutes before the show, because we were like, wait a second. I cannot, like, when you told me the numbers of what the Blackhawks playoff odds were, I was like, that can't be right. And then sure enough, we look it up and it was really high. And I was like, we have to talk about this. And so we spent pretty much the entire show on Monday talking about the Blackhawks playoff odds. And sigh, Jack, since then, the Blackhawks, I was going to say they were 0-3-0 in their last three games since we did our last show. But there was that Calgary game, the Connor Bedard hat trick, that snuck in there. So the Hawks have just one win in the last four games since we last did a show. I actually did not look at the playoff odds currently. Hang on, I'm pulling this up in real time. The Blackhawks playoff odds right now, 27.5. On Wednesday night, it was 49.9.
Yeah.
So it was a coin flip going into American Thanksgiving. But anyway, I feel like we owe our listeners an apology for maybe putting the skis ahead of our boots? What is it?
Something like that.
The tips ahead of the ski. Whatever. Like whatever. Unfortunately, the Hawks have lost three in a row. And it's kind of been a weird week, because the Seattle game on Thursday night, Hawks were up 2-0, unravel in the third, give up three unanswered. It was the controversial Connor Bedard, the no penalty call. He gets hit with unsportsmanlike conduct for arguing with the officials. Seattle scores on that power play. The Hawks lose. Then the Hawks fly to Buffalo. It's the second game of a back-to-back. They don't get into Buffalo until like 2:30 in the morning, maybe even 3, actually, because they lost an hour of sleep going to the Eastern time zone. Hawks get drubbed 9-3 to the Sabres, their worst loss of the season. Then they follow that up on Sunday with a 1-0 loss to Colorado. And Jack, I actually thought the Blackhawks played fine in against mm-hmm. Colorado. I mean, the second period, obviously, Colorado completely dominated play. Shot attempts were like 19-1. But in the first and third periods, it felt like the Hawks really were the better team. Specifically in that first period, I felt like the Hawks could have had two or three goals. All of them, maybe Ryan Green specifically, with the chances that he got. And so the Hawks, it was kind of a weird game where they held Colorado to fewer than two goals in a game for the first time all season long. And Colorado is by far the best team in the NHL. You look at every single offensive metric, or just any metric, wins, scoring chances, expected goals, all of that, goal differential. Colorado is far and away the best team. And so I thought the Hawks actually played a great defensive game. It was just weird, Jack, that it was the offense that couldn't get anything going, and not just a low scoring output. They couldn't find the back of the net once. And that had to be a frustrating feeling for the Blackhawks.
Yeah. It felt like the especially like that first 10 minutes of the first period, I felt like they were all over them. Like they were flying around on, getting pucks deep, just flying around on offense. And I mean, Scott Wedgwood made a few crazy saves there at the end. The A's are at a chance at the end, and it kind of just sums up their week, that like Spencer Knight's so good with the puck, and then he has a turnover, and that it's the only one that gets in the back of the net in the whole game. So it seems like, listening to their media after the game and today, like they're taking the positive, like they hung with them, we played really well, and now they have 2 days to get ready for Minnesota. But that one was a little frustrating, I think, for everybody involved.
Spencer Knight is maybe the best puck handling goaltender in the NHL among all goaltenders, and I don't think we're ever going to see him make a mistake like that again all season long. So it was, that's frustrating that that ended up being the game-winning goal because it was the only goal that was scored. Side note, totally buried the lead here, but earlier today, I spoke with Louis Crevier, had a nice interview with Blackhawks defenseman, 6'8" defenseman who's a 7th-round pick in 2020, has carved out a really nice role with the Blackhawks, has 10 points this season, more of a defensive defenseman, but he has really contributed offensively. So that interview is going to be coming up in the second segment. But Jack, I do want to highlight something from the Colorado game, and that is the fact that Connor Bedard went up against Nathan McKinnon's line for the majority of the night. Now, typically, that is a matchup that goes to Jason Dickinson, who is the shutdown third line center for the Blackhawks. Anytime over the last couple of years, a team like Edmonton rolls through, or Colorado rolls through, or, you know, Tampa Bay rolls through, Jason Dickinson always gets those top line matchups. He gets Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl. He gets Nathan McKinnon. He gets whoever. In this matchup, maybe it was because Jason Dickinson was, it was his first game back from injury after he missed a month because of the upper body injury. So maybe they don't want to give him that heavy responsibility right out of the gate, knowing that Nathan McKinnon was probably going to log 22, 23 minutes of ice time. And so maybe they don't want to overwork Dickinson. But I thought part of the reason was probably the Hawks saying Connor Bedard's game has elevated and grown so much just this year alone that they kind of wanted to see how he handled this responsibility. And as the home team, you get the last change. And so the visiting, we saw the starting lineups, the Colorado Avalanche threw out the Nathan McKinnon line to start. The Hawks were able to counter, and the Hawks did not counter with Dickinson line. They countered with the Connor Bedard line. And if I'm not mistaken, in all three start of the periods, in the first, second, and third, Colorado started with Nathan McKinnon's line. The Blackhawks countered with Connor Bedard's line. And I thought Connor really handled the matchup well. And check out some of the numbers that I put out on social media earlier today. So McKinnon logged 20 minutes and 36 seconds of even strength ice time. In that span, Connor Bedard, he was on the ice for 12:40 of the 20:36. So with Bedard on the ice against McKinnon, the Blackhawks led in shot attempts 18 to 15, shots on goal 8-4, scoring chances 8-6, high danger chances 4-0. When McKinnon was on the ice and Bedard was not out there defending him, but I should say Bedard's line as a whole, they don't want to disrespect his line mates, Colorado was 13-7 in shot attempts, 5-2 shots on goal, and then scoring chances and high danger chances were even 5-5, 3-3. I left that game feeling like Connor Bedard neutralized Nathan McKinnon more than McKinnon shut down Bedard, if that makes sense. Because also, forgot to mention, of the 20 minutes that McKinnon was out there for at even strength, Cale Makar was out there for more than 16 of those 20 minutes. So he was out there for 80% of the minutes. So Bedard was out there with McKinnon and Makar, and the Hawks led in shot attempts, shots on goal, scoring chances, high danger chances. I mean, that's not insignificant to me, because Pittsburgh Penguins president and GM Kyle Dubas was in attendance for the game. He is part of Team Canada's management group for the 2026 Winter Olympics. We all know what happened last week on Tuesday, the Connor Bedard hat trick game. Team Canada assistant GM Don Sweeney was in attendance. He's the Boston Bruins general manager. He was in attendance. Watch. It seems like Team Canada is strongly considering Bedard for the Olympic roster. They would not be doing this much research if they didn't feel like he was a legitimate part of the conversation. And last thing before I'll throw it over to you, John Cooper is also the head coach for Team Canada, for the Olympic roster. Jeff Blashill was in Tampa Bay the last 3 years. So Jeff has a kind of a direct, he's got an ear to John Cooper as well. Like if John Cooper called Jeff Blashill and said, what have you seen from Connor Bedard this year? Jeff is going to say, I put him in defensive zone responsibilities with, you know, matching him up against Nathan McKinnon's line. Even in losses, he's been our best player. The wins, he's been driving the driving force. So I think if Team Canada's management was skeptical about Connor Bedard's defensive game and how he would perform against guys like Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, Marty Natchez, who I didn't even mention. He's part of Nathan McKinnon's line. Connor did a pretty good job of neutralizing the best line in hockey and the best defenseman in hockey when those two best players were on the ice at even strength against Chicago on Sunday.
It's good. Yeah, it's good numbers to kind of put into place when you see a 1-0 game. You can kind of miss those things, and especially in a loss. But when I watch him in like the defensive zone, like when we're at the UC, you can kind of see a little better sometimes in TV where our where we sit. But in previous years, it seemed like in the defensive zone, he didn't really know where he was supposed to be. This year, it seems like he has like a purpose when he's skating in the defensive zone. So it's a big development. And if he's hanging, he's been hanging with the big guns all year in every game. And he's played some big teams this year, like Edmonton, and he's had the hat tricks with guys in attendance. And he's forced himself to have the A on his sweater when Nick Foligno's gone, till he's gone, and he's earned that. And then he's earned the being on the bubble, I guess, or in the conversation for Team Canada. So it's a really big positive step. And even if the team success hasn't been there this week, it's still, you're looking at the season as a whole. And like you said, he's driving pretty much everything, and that's what you want to see from him. And hopefully they can pick it back up in the win column, but it's a big deal to see Bedard taking the big step where he's on pace for 100 and whatever points when he was sitting in the 60s the last 2 years.
Right. And I do want to preface this by saying to Colorado, it was the second of a back-to-back for them, so they were legs were probably a little bit tired. But for the Hawks, that was their fourth game in 6 days too, so they weren't probably feeling the freshest either. Also, if you look at Connor Bedard's line mates, Ryan Green, who's been really solid for the Blackhawks this season, but he's played 24 career NHL games. His other line mate, Tyler Bertuzzi, who has just been absolutely fantastic for the Blackhawks this season. He's not the fleetest of foot, though. He's not a guy that you want to throw out there to match up against MacKinnon, Marty Natchez, and Cale Makar, who are all unbelievable skaters. And so if Connor was paired with Ilya Mikheyev and Teuvo Teravainen, two guys that are really responsible defensively, I would say, okay, yeah, like that line, you know, was tasked with shutting down the opponent, and he had two really good wingers that are good defensive minded players. But Ryan Green, you know, he's a good puck battler, but you don't think of him as like, you know, shut down guy. He's going to go against the top. Maybe down the road he will, but at 24 games into his NHL career, he's just trying to find himself. And with Tyler Bertuzzi, he's more of a guy that goes to the net front and he goes to the greasy areas. He's not really the guy that you put out there against MacKinnon or Makar. And so it was just a really impressive just looking at the numbers and watching them perform the way that they did. I was really impressed by how Connor handled that matchup. And he even talked about it at practice today. He said he was very excited to draw that matchup, because not only is it a litmus test for the team as a whole going up against a player and players of Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar's caliber, but also going up against them as a team, he felt like the Blackhawks was a good measuring stick, not just for the Blackhawks, but individually. I think Connor welcomed the challenge. And I don't think, like, me putting out those numbers and saying Connor neutralized Nathan MacKinnon, like, I'm not saying Nathan MacKinnon is or Bedard is better than Nathan MacKinnon and like making it a big deal, but I am saying if defensively, if that's the knack on Connor Bedard's game as to whether or not he's part of Team Canada's roster, I thought the Hawks did a really nice job of giving him that responsibility so he can prove that maybe he can handle it. But also, Connor really delivered in that way. And so I don't think that should be much of a talking point if Connor continues to draw these types of matchups down the road and he handles them well, because then it's going to be like, well, what's the knock? Because offensively, you know, he's going to create. And if he's paired with a guy like, ironically, if he is paired with a guy like Nathan MacKinnon or Connor McDavid, yeah, with Team Canada, probably not going to be in your defensive zone very much anyway.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's the next step. You want to see he can do complete game, and he's taken a lot of strides in everything, and I think that's something Jeff Blashill challenged him to do. And to Connor's credit, he's taken that head on and is having a great year. And it's kind of surprising when there's a game when he doesn't have a point now, which is that it's nice to be at that point in his development when there were some droughts he had last year. I mean, I think last year he'll look back on it as something he really learned from, because it was a tough year for him, but he fought through it, and now he's kind of reaping the benefits of going through something hard and working on his game.
Yeah, and even the games that he doesn't record a point, there is a moment of, oh, wow, Connor was held off the score sheet. But there's also a part of me that's like, oh, wow, he was held off the score sheet, but he probably could have had like 2 points in this game. But, you know, maybe he set up a player that didn't finish or it hit the post or whatever. And it feels like you're always leaving a Blackhawks game feeling like Connor Bedard was one of the best players, if not the best player. Like even the, there's a website out there. I think it's called Hockey Stat Cards, where they tweet out like game scores every game. And Connor is like consistently at the top of every Blackhawks game, like every Blackhawks skater. It's like, all right, who was the best player? Who had the best game score? Oh, Connor Bedard. He was number one. Oh, what about this game? Oh, it's, you know, it was Alex Vlasic 1, Connor Bedard 2. You know, yeah. It's like he's always just hovering near the top. Even in the 9-3 loss to Buffalo, like he was far and away the best player. So it wasn't on Connor. You know,
he had a couple points in that game too.
Yeah, yeah. Had a couple. I think he was a plus one.
Yeah.
That which is crazy to do in a 9-3 game, like plus one rating. And so, I know plus minus can be a flawed stat and we don't have to go too deep into it, but it was just like, usually when you give up 9 goals, like you should probably be a minus.
You're gonna be a big minus.
a big dash. But Connor has been holding his own. So yeah, I was really impressed by that matchup, the way he handled Nathan MacKinnon, and again, not trying to confuse MacKinnon not being a better player than Bedard, because MacKinnon is right now the best player in the NHL, right up there with Connor McDavid, and I was really impressed by how he handled it. All right, we got more to get to here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. My interview with Louis Crevier is coming up next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois, here in the Blackhawks locker room with Blackhawks defenseman Louis Crevier, who has been one of the surprise growths on the team as far as you know, how you've elevated your game. I just want to assess your season. How do you feel like you've done so far?
I think I've been doing a pretty good job. Obviously, it's easier just because everyone's playing good, you know, compared to maybe the two previous years. I mean, I'm able to put a little bit in more in the O zone, and we get out of the D zone more efficiency. So, I think it helps everyone's game, and we're having some fun as well. You know, we're able to compete with every team every night. So it's good, yeah.
I don't think anyone is going to mistake you for an offensive defenseman, but how nice is it for you to be contributing on that aspect as well, not just defensively?
It's nice. I mean, when I go into the game, I'm not thinking about points or goals, but I'm trying to focus on, like, putting pucks on net, and I think it's been working well this year. I think we're putting a lot of emphasis on going to the net and going like low to high shot quick, and I think when everyone's on the same page, it's doing pretty well so far, so we'll keep going.
There was a game a couple of games ago that you recorded a shot on goal that was 102 plus miles per hour. One, did you know that stat? And two, did you know that your shot could get that high?
I honestly thought I could get, like, I don't think it ever recorded before, but I know I could get above 100. I think it was Donald who just told me in between periods, like, oh, you got like a 102 shot. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And but I didn't, you know, I think, yeah, it was a nice pass by Mickey, and I was also coming down on the puck, which helps because your momentum's going forward. And then it was just, it was a hard shot. I mean, it's just a stat, you know, it didn't go in, didn't create anything, so it doesn't, you know, but it's cool once in a while to get a bomb in.
Do you think you could get higher? Like, if you participate in the hardest shot, do you think you could compete there? Because I think that was the second yeah, highest miles per hour in a game this season.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Like, I think for the like that competition, it's all about like timing and stuff. Like during the game, like as I said, the puck's going towards me and I'm going towards the puck, so that creates more power. But no, I think, you know, we'll see if I'm able to get. I think Nider today was talking to me. He's like, "Oh, trying to get 103, 103," and I think it's fun. It's a funny stats to talk about.
Defensively, it seems like your game has come a really long way, and you started as kind of like the seventh defenseman as the Hawks went to 11-7, and now your game has really elevated where you're playing on that top pairing with Alex Vlasic. How much have you taken pride in, you know, starting as a 7th D-man and now getting closer to 18, 19, 20 minutes a night?
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. It's something I'm not too concerned. And sometimes with games like, let's say, against Colorado, I know I'll have a more important role playing against a top line and trying to shut them down. So it varies from game to game. I think it's fun to be kind of to be able to give the team like a different version of me. Like, you know, if I'm playing 7D as like being a D, I'm just trying to, you know, keep taking simples and like have a couple of good shifts, because you know, obviously when you're 7, you're not playing as much. And then if like last game against Colorado, like I'm more all right. Like I'm really focusing on that line on the other side, and it's I think it's something I can do both. So it's fun. I like it, and it's helping me play some games, play some minutes, and keep developing. So it's good.
Is it fun to play with a guy like Alex Vlasic, where you guys are both skilled, size, but you also have, you know, you guys think the game the same way, and also have trust in each other?
Yeah, he's. I think everyone in the league could say the same thing. It's easy to play with Vlas. I think he's doing, you know, he's really good. It's just easy to play with him. You're not, you know, you have confidence in him, and that makes you better, because you're not asking questions, and he's not, you know, he keeps things simple, and he's I've been fortunate to play a couple of games with him along the years. So it's he's a good teammate.
Do you ever reflect personally on your growth? I mean, being a seventh round draft pick and just how you've emerged in such a short amount of time. Do you take a lot of pride in how much your game has grown in a short time span?
Yeah, I do. I think it's something that I like to maybe not ask myself, but think about it sometimes, just when, you know, put things into perspective. But as I go into the game, I'm not thinking about it. You know, you want to. It's not like not an excuse, but it's like, oh, like I'm a seventh rounder or whatever. It's you know, I'm here to do a job, and you know, the draft was what five years ago now, so it's been quite a while. So I think it's I'm happy that I was able to get a chance to play and develop here. And it is a cool story, and it's fun that, you know, I'm a seventh rounder, but I'm still playing for the team that drafted me. So I think it's I'll keep playing here as long as they want me. So it's great.
Last one for you. It seems like the vibes in here are so much different than the past couple years, where all the guys enjoy playing for each other. There's more winning, so I guess that helps coming to the rink a little bit easier. Yeah. But it's also a really young locker room, and so you guys are growing together. How enjoyable has that been, where you can look around this locker room and it's guys around the same age?
I think actually I'm in a good spot to answer that question, because I've been able to play with some guys in Rockford that are now here, and the last couple of years when I was up here, like I wasn't as close as some older veterans, but now like I'm feeling comfortable to talk with them, mess with them. So it's a fun it's a fun locker room. We have a lot of fun, and we know, I think it's we know when to work and when to have fun as well. So it's we have a really nice mix of veterans and rookies, and it's fun. Sometimes it's either you have it or you don't in a locker room, but it is cool. Like you see right now, like, you know, I know we've lost 3 in a row now, but like we're still like turning the page and being able to, you know, work hard today and keep going. So it's cool, guys.
I say this off camera all the time, but I've enjoyed watching your growth on the ice, but also you're one of the nicest guys inside the locker room. And so, it's been fun getting to know you over the years. Congratulations on your success this season, and I hope you keep it going.
Thank you, Troy. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Meliotis and Jack Heinrich here on a Monday evening. And, Jack, there was a viral video that surfaced on my social media yesterday, both
Me
on Twitter,
too.
On Instagram. And originally, I didn't want to acknowledge this video because I didn't want to give attention to the video. But as it started to grow into the viewership started to grow, I felt like I needed to contribute to this. And if you know what I'm talking about, it's the Connor Bedard, who is essentially like stalked in Buffalo by this autograph reseller trying to get his autograph, and is really kind of like begging him to sign this NHL draft preview, claiming that this is the only one that he hasn't had signed. I call baloney. he said he wanted to personalize it. I don't buy that either, because he was recording, so it feels like his motives were pretty clear. We were talking about this off camera though, and I guess this guy has a TikTok account that he is known for kind of approaching these athletes and trying to get...
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't know that.
He normally does it after games. Or like, he tried to get Bryson DeChambeau's at like a live event. He's normally like outside after. This is the first time, at least I saw, I don't follow him too closely, but the first time kind of chasing someone in the wild, I guess to say.
Weird people, man. So obviously, if you saw the video, Connor clearly looks kind of bothered by it. He was walking in Buffalo with his teammates. I think even Sam Lafferty kind of said to the guy, hey, like he said, no. He relents. Connor eventually, I actually chuckled when I saw this. Connor finally kind of caves, but doesn't give him the autograph, just gives him a scribble. And there was another guy with him, I guess. I don't even know if they were together or whatever, but I kind of wanted to address this, and I don't want to give more attention to this than it deserves, but I feel like I have to defend Connor Bedard's character on some level, because, I mean, I've seen him treat true fans that are there to get an experience of like, wow, I'm like within breathing distance of Connor Bedard. Like sometimes these people, every road city that the Blackhawks go to, I've had the luxury of traveling with the team for a few games this year on the road. And every hotel, like, you get fans that are waiting there that want to get autographs or pictures or whatever. And they're very respectful generally. It's really the autograph resellers that cross a line. I was on the road for one of the games this year, and there was we were hopping on the bus before a game, and there was a Blackhawks player or a couple players walked through the lobby, and most of them some of them will stop and sign for people, right? But there were these three gentlemen that were waiting outside, and I couldn't tell if they were all together or if they all were just there for the same thing. They were clearly not fans. They just had like a booklet of items to sign. And a few of the Blackhawks stopped, signed, very respectful, whatever, hopped on the bus. But one of the three gentlemen ended up missing a Blackhawk. So he walked by and he ends up nudging his buddy and says, hey, who was that? And he says, you know, the Blackhawks player's name. And then the guy tried to like get this Blackhawk that was starting to walk away to go to the bus. He kind of hunted him down and then like made up this story like, oh, like I really am a big fan of yours. And, you know, I have all your cards right here, or whatever. And, you know, the Blackhawks signed it, but it was like, I spotted it from a mile away. Like, these guys are sharks. Like, they just want to get stuff signed and resell it. And it's really unfortunate because like a part of me is like, man, like you make a living just kind of like stalking people, and some of them are like young. And so it's really weird, but it's hard because it feels like Connor's actually, I shouldn't say this because it feels like the majority of the people saw the video and actually were on Connor's side. But it kind of looks weird that like Connor was like off putting. But if you don't know exactly what's happening there, like those autograph resellers are quite annoying. And I see it at every road game that I'm at. And so I felt like I needed to come to the defense of Connor Bedard's character, because we know him off the ice and we know how much time he gives young fans, whether it's he stays out late to practice, the people that are there at Fifth Third Arena, like he'll go, you know, underneath the netting and he'll throw jerseys back up, sign it, whatever. So he's so respectful with his time in that area. But I saw that video gain traction. I just kind of shook my head like, all right, man, I really hope this doesn't blow up because I don't want to give this attention. But when it started to grow and people started to comment on it more, and then it started to get into the thousands and as far as in impressions, like into the 100,000s, I'm like, all right, I feel like I need to say something. And so, it's just weird. I don't know, man. I just weird. I find it so weird and, to make a living that way. And so I'm glad the hockey world understood where Connor was coming from and is really siding with him. And I feel like it jokes on the guy that tried to post it and tried to smear Connor because it actually made him look bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that guy's videos before, and it is a little, especially the way the autograph game has changed. Like, it used to just be like kids getting it, but then, like, even like you say, in some of these guys that sell it will get kids to sign it, and sometimes the players won't go by the kids because they see the adult like kind of standing there behind
them. That's horrible, man.
Yeah, so it ruins it for other people who are like genuinely trying to do it. But yeah, Connor's all, I mean, he's 20. We were talking about this on Lisa's show. Like, he's 20 years old and he's faced all this stuff already, being 3 years in the NHL, and he handles himself really good. And he could probably like sense what this guy was about, and like if they say no and then they keep going, like, that's kind of like, you can't force that. Like, they're a person too. Like, you can't just force them to do it, you know? And a lot of people like try to make athletes look bad, like, oh, they want to make time for like a kid, for like a couple minutes for a kid, but like when there's a bigger like they just cut out like a small part to try to make the player look bad, when it's like it might have been like all these hounds around him or something. So it does ruin it, but like you said, there's plenty of examples of Bedard at practice, like staying, like he practices late, and then if the fans are staying there, he most of the time will go over there if there's a few young fans. So when I saw the video, it had like 35,000 likes or something. So I was like, oh boy, this went viral fast. But I was pretty quick to be like, yeah, this isn't on Connor at all. There's still a few people like, oh, I can't make a time for him, but I don't think people understand the autograph business like you were talking about.
This was not a one-off situation. This happens everywhere,
yeah,
all the time. And I imagine Connor has probably been dealing with this since his Regina Pats days in the WHL. And so this isn't news. This isn't new to him. And so, I obviously grew up a big sports fan. And so when I would see a Chicago athlete when I was a kid, like if me and my dad went up to him, we'd say, hey, like, can we get a picture with you or whatever? And let's just say hypothetically, yeah. And let's just say they said no, that was it. It was like, oh, okay, thank you. Like, good luck tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't, it's not relentless. Like, now, there might be unique situations where, like, if a fan travels from overseas to come see and they want to get a picture with Connor, and they're like, oh, and they're trying to like, hey, I flew here, I would love to get a picture with you. Those situations are different, but it would never cross a line. Rarely, I haven't seen this before. It wouldn't cross a line where it's just like relentless pursuit of just trying to desperately get a picture. So anyway, yeah, I saw that, and it's just like, man, I really don't want to comment on this because I don't want to give this person any attention. But when it blows up the way it did, it's almost like people need to know the full story. And it was cool to see, like, I think I put something out on Twitter, like at replied the account that was growing. It's like all these Blackhawks fans were like at replying from my tweet that they saw, and it was like pictures with Connor Bedard, and they were sharing their stories of how Connor took the time to go out of his way of like hopping on the bus and then seeing them and then getting off the bus and then going to sign. And so it was cool that Blackhawks fans started to flock and share their own personal Connor Bedard stories of what he has done to them. And so I enjoyed seeing Blackhawks fans do that, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it just how he is. We know, yeah, he's not a guy that's just gonna be rude to anybody for no reason. That's just not how he is.
Yeah,
he looks angry when he's on the ice because he's trying to win and he's competitive, but that's just not how he is. So it is good to see the Hawks fans backing him up.
Want to send a quick congratulations to Blackhawks prospect Mason West, who said after the NHL draft that he wanted to return to high school for his senior year to help his team win a state championship. He delivered in that area. He's also the team captain of their hockey team, and he helped them win a state championship. So now at Edina, he's helped them win a state title in hockey and in football. I mean, what an amazing career this guy has already. And he's just 17, 18 years old. And now he's going to be making the transition over to hockey full time. I saw he did like a, he popped in on Spittin' Chiclets today. He did a couple other interviews in today. And so I'm glad he's getting all the attention that he has. And it's been a cool story to follow how I think when he got drafted, maybe there was some sort of risk to go back to play football, but I thought it was a reflection more of his character on wanting to go back and owing it to his teammates to want, most of whom he has known since like first or second grade. And so really glad that they all got that experience together. And so that was great to see. So congratulations to Mason. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Our next show, Monday, December 1st. December already at 7 p.m. We'll talk to you then.